Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Yes, yes, yes. An action-packed Monday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific. Spent a lot of hour number one. The Bills' unbelievable upset in Minnesota. The Chiefs' offensive machine continues to roll right along. Garoppolo and all likelihood torn ACL for the 49ers, done for the year. See you next year, Jimmy G. And that pretty much ends all hope for relevancy this year for the San Francisco 49ers with now C.J. Beathard at quarterback. As we continue to react to the third NFL Sunday that was Taz and you go down to Washington and the Redskins. I don't know what to make. You congratulated me this morning when I congrats, great win by the Redskins.
Good job.
I don't know what to make of them. A guy yesterday, I was here doing the show locally on WFA in New York, Sunday football show with David Deal and Tom. Tommy, a producer who works behind the scenes, said, what do you think about the Redskins today? I go, I think nothing about Washington. I go, I don't know what to expect from the Redskins week in and week out.
They took it to the Pack, man.
They did. 17. They took it They took it to the Green Bay Packers. They look good. Adrian Peterson looks like he visited the Fountain of Youth in the offseason. He went over 100 yards rushing and a couple touchdowns for the Redskins as they look pretty good. And you know, a banged-up Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense struggled to put up the points that many expect them to put up against that Redskins defense. And to add insult to injury for the Green Bay Packers, a yet another roughing call on Clay Matthews, the talented linebacker for the Packers, on what looked like, I'll be realistic, last week against Minnesota, Taz, I watched that replay five, six, seven times and said, all right, I could see to an extent, I would not have called it.
No.
I could see to an extent what they were talking about. This one yesterday against Alex Smith, what do you want? Dude, what do you want Clay Matthews to do? Exactly. How exactly would you him to tackle a player or anybody? The penalty makes no sense yesterday.
They're actually the one for Minnesota, too, to your point. They're very similar looks, yet he didn't lead with his head. He didn't put his head down. He didn't bury the crown of his lid, his helmet, into Smith's chin or nothing like that, or spear him in his sternum, nothing. It was nothing. His head was to the side. He almost like a double leg takedown type thing, a basic form tackle Clay Matthews did. Didn't drive his own body weight onto the guy. He's falling. What's Clay Matthews, 245, 250, whatever he weighs? He's a 250-pound professional football player, linebacker, who he's not going to fall like a freaking ballerina. I mean, what do you want this guy to do? And it almost looks like the league's out to get him. I'm not saying they are. Maybe it's just a really strange coincidence that like 3 weeks in a row, this is kind of similar to what's going on with him here. You know, but I got to tell you, that was yesterday, just like last week. Yesterday was a load of BS flat out. That was horrible.
I thought yesterday was actually worse than the previous week. I would not have called either one of them. And the NFL will probably come out in support of their officials on the field for making the call that they made. And listen, this one did not determine the outcome. The Redskins were by far the better football team on the field. The week previous cost the Green Bay Packers the game because on the play, Cousins throws a pick. The game is over. I mean, the game is literally over. And the Packers would have went on to victory. Carlson for the Minnesota Vikings would probably still have a job. The Vikings still probably would have pulled a no-show this week against the Buffalo Bills. Now, yesterday, for Matthews, the frustration level after the game, let's take a listen.
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't agree with it again. You know, whereas last week I thought I did it, you know, hit the quarterback correctly. Head was to the side again, wrapped him up. And you see, as soon as I hit the ground, you see me try and pull my hands out. you know, obviously when you're tackling a guy from the front, you're going to land on him. You know, I understand the spirit of the rule. I said that.
Yeah, he understands the spirit of the rule. How about where this league is going?
Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft. And, you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to keep playing hard.
Yeah, he's going to go out and keep playing hard and doing his... Now, to play the bigger point of this league now getting soft, the National Football League, Taz, all four, protecting players, health long-term.
Right.
Don't want to see guys that are at 50, 55, 60 years of age having little to no quality of life. Don't need that from
the former football players. Totally agree, yeah.
So you need to put things into an extent. You know, that's why they don't practice as hard. They don't practice as much.
Well, there's less hitting. Right,
less
of course,
hitting.
Practice. Yeah, sure.
Right, the helmet-to-helmet collisions, form pull. I understand all that. There are some things, though. What exactly, when you have Matthews getting flagged for that, when you have former quarterbacks saying that the defenses are at a disadvantage here, what exactly do you want this product to be? There is a certain amount of violence in the National Football League that's inherent that you can't get away from. That's part of the sport. Guys running into one another, colliding, vicious collisions.
The guy's 6'3", 255.
That comes along with it.
What do you want him to do?
As Matthew said, where would you like me to land? And here's the other thing, Taz. Say if he hits Smith there and he doesn't wrap him up and bring him to the ground, and he thinks the play is dead, and then Alex Smith makes a play. What? Then all of a sudden, Matthews looks like the bag. Matthews
like an idiot.
Not doing his job.
He's not doing his job, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. And I'm, like I said during the offseason, when we were doing one of our shows here, you're going to get a situation where some of these defensive guys are going to lay up, that meaning that they're going to back off because they don't want to get fined, they don't want to get flagged, they don't want to hurt their team, and that's when you get hurt. When you go half speed or three-quarter speed, that's when you get hurt. So this Clay Matthews thing is a load of malarkey. That's right. I said malarkey. And I got to tell you, they got to change this rule. They got to figure this out, okay? I really strongly doubt the rule. The league is going directly at Clay Matthews. I think it's just a really wacky coincidence that he's getting banged left and right here. And Alex Smith, the guy he hit, we don't have the audio, but I heard him say at post game, he understood. He goes, "It's tough right now." I'm paraphrasing for these defensive guys. You know, I it's tough. He goes, "They're trying to protect us, the quarterback." He basically said, in paraphrasing terms, he's not pissed at Clay Matthews. He didn't think Clay Matthews did anything wrong. He didn't, and that's the guy that to your point earlier, we were talking about quarterbacks. You referenced quarterbacks. So. It's tough, man.
I didn't hear Smith say it, but that's a credit to Alex Smith for saying that after the game.
He's
dead on correct. I mean, you watch whether you play Division I, Division II, whether you're playing Pop Warner. You know what tackles are tackles. You know that violence is inherent in the game. You know that you're going to take a hit. I get protecting the quarterback, but this is taking it to a level, Taz, that's moronic.
It is.
And the NFL needs to adjust and adapt that rule. Because what we're seeing now is taken away from the enjoyment of the sport. That is not a penalty.
Right, it's not.
What we witnessed yesterday should not be a penalty.
No, it should not be a penalty. And it's almost like, the good thing is, it seems like, I mean, just in the past few weeks, I don't have numbers in front of me, but just as I watched all the games, just like you watch all the games, as much as you humanly possibly can, less, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's less penalties with the helmet rule, with the head. You're seeing less of that. Knock on wood, you're seeing, I don't remember in the past few weeks if we've seen anybody go off the field with a neck injury. I don't remember. I'm sure maybe one or two's happened here and there, but it's not like we've seen a bunch last year. So I think maybe that part is good as far as what they're doing with the rules and whatnot. But Matthews, again, his head was to the side. It was a basic form tackle, and he did not try to drive or pile drive his opponent, his quarterback, the quarterback he hit, to the turf. He did not try to drive that guy's body down. He didn't. He landed on him. You're taught in football to run through. I played. I coached on a high school level. You are taught to run through the guy with the ball. You're not taught to hit him. You're taught to run through him so the hit is even harder. Maybe you dislodge the ball. You're not taught to lead with your head. You're taught to hit him what's that do? When you say run through the guy, that means you're going to hit the guy harder because you're trying to go through him, right? If you've never done it, doesn't mean you don't have to do it to understand what that means. That's what when you do that, your momentum does what, Moose? It makes you land on the guy.
And the NFL wants to, and they got rid of it a while back, the Siragusa hit on Rich Gannon in the playoffs a number of years ago, what Reggie White used to do. Remember when Siragusa hit Gannon and he basically drove his shoulder into the ground with all of his weight, and Gannon got hurt? You don't want that.
That was like 340. That
right. That is not something you want.
Goose.
This is not what transpired yesterday. And Reggie White used to do that. That's Phil Sims. Phil Sims, when they did that NFL Films piece on Reggie White, Phil Sims said he used to, when he hit you, he put the weight of his entire body on you, and it would suck the oxygen right out of you. You could hardly breathe for the next two offensive plays. And they did away with that, and I get all that. What happened yesterday is not a penalty. And, Taz, to play the bigger point here, what Matthews hit upon in terms of the league getting soft, there are large percentages of the NFL fan base that look at the National Football League now and feel like the league is getting soft.
And you heard Matthew say it. It's tough to argue.
And that is not going to go away, that he feels like that's where people are turning away from the National Football League because it's no longer the football that they grew up with, that they loved, that they couldn't wait to watch on NFL Sundays. That football is long gone because of all the dopey penalties that we're getting now. It's one thing to protect, but do you think on the broader spectrum, do you think the NFL is getting soft?
I do. And I think that, look, I think their intentions are safety for the players. I do think their heart's in the right place. My opinion, I do think the NFL's heart is in the right place. I know they're a business. I know they chop through the players. There's a lot of players that are former players that are broke, poor, crippled, and I understand that, and it's sad. It's horrible. I know wrestlers that are like that also.
Horrific.
Okay, it's horrible. But I don't think that the league as a whole, that they're malicious, mean men and women that are trying to, you know, destroy players. But I do think I do think that their heart's in the right place, but it is coming off as soft. I think that these referees, I think being a referee would be probably the worst job you could have right now because these poor guys, and I very rarely will I defend a ref, but I got to tell you, I wouldn't want that job, Moose, because they got to be second-guessing themselves left and right. There's plays called left and right, and these refs are huddling up. Oh, wait, what'd you say? I don't know, what'd you think? Then you got to go to New York. Well, let's get on the headset. Then you got the freaking ref. Every friggin' network has a ref in a booth now. Dean Blandino, John Blandino, Bop Bopino, Bean Bopino, all these guys, right? They're all, who's the other guy with the glasses? Yeah, salt and pepper hair. You know that guy. What's his name? Pereira?
Oh, Mike Pereira.
Pereira, John Pereira, right? Para, all these guys. They got Dean Blandino, which
Dean
sounds
Blandino.
Like a fake name.
Well, Blandino, you said.
Sounds like a fake
right.
name.
Right, so
Dean
Pereira
Blandino.
Was the head of officials before he went to Fox. Blandino then took over for him.
Right.
And then Blandino left.
So now you're a ref.
Now they're together.
But they got him all over.
Then he got Steratore.
That guy.
Steratore was actually great on the field.
That guy loves himself.
And he coaches and he also is a referee in college hoops, too.
I didn't know that part.
Yes.
That guy loves himself some Steratore. He loves to be on the tube.
He does.
But here's the thing. So imagine you're a ref. Okay.
I would not want the job.
Dude, you got everybody second guessing you.
I would not want the job, and they've made the job a lot more difficult than what it needs to be. But want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. Not a case of whether or not you want the job. Do you think your football is getting soft? Do you like where the NFL is going right now? Want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS because it is a difficult job. As violent as the sport is as fast as the sport is played, and you have instant decisions that you have to make, Taz, and you are criticized left and right, not just by the guy that is the fantasy team, daily fantasy, has a rooting interest, but also now the gambler out there that's got money on the line.
I know a gambler. Well, it's funny because
who's that?
I think our next segment, our guest is coming on.
Yeah, Jim Diopoulos is going to join us, the former supervisor of NFL officials.
That's what I was just going to say.
Oh, I apologize.
Thank you, Moose.
I thought you...
I thought he had another page. I thought we were going to go to a quote.
No, it's all good, bro.
I apologize.
No, please. There's no need to apologize.
Yeah, let me lay out.
When you apologize to me, that's like when someone's saying, how was your weekend? You know how I am with that stuff. You don't have to apologize. Don't ask me how my weekend was.
I'm curious
about
your weekend.
Don't say happy Friday.
You know me.
Today you hit me with the three-day weekend. Moose, how was Taz? How was the three-day weekend?
I'm sure you enjoyed it.
Now he's giving me the three-day gimmick.
Why don't you just appreciate me for me instead of criticizing me? Why don't
you appreciate
me? Like, you know what?
I do.
You know what?
No,
it's not a bad thing.
No,
it's not a bad thing. Instead of everything I do is a critique. I wouldn't do that.
Cracking a whip.
No,
you're a solid guy, you know? That's a left-handed compliment, right?
Jim Diapoulos, former supervisor officials, is going to join us next. Taz, Moose,
you're the man, Moose.
Yeah,
the man,
I really feel the love in the room.
Oh,
yeah, hit me with a 3-day weekend now. Don't ask me about my days.
Say that to me.
Don't ever ask me how I'm doing ever again in my rest of my life.
Everything's extreme today.
No, just assume that I'm doing well unless I tell you otherwise.
You see me here, I'm okay.
Yes, right. Exactly. Wow, what a way. Living is loving. Taz, Moose. CBS Sports Radio.
Get the latest facts and figures for your fantasy football team on Eye on Fantasy Football. Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
AB is in the house. Jim Diapoulos is going to join Taz and myself here momentarily. CBS Sports, CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a great doubleheader. Frank Gore drives the Dolphins into the AFC East showdown against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Then Drew Brees and the Saints march north and collide with Eli Manning and the Giants. The action kicks off with the NFL Today, presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
Hey, look who's here.
Yes, AB is here.
Hey, pal.
Taz, Moose.
Hello, pal.
Good to see you.
Hello, pal.
Hey, pal. Hey, pal.
Hello, pal. Oh, pal.
That's how I should deal on my Mondays with Vince. Pal.
As I said, pal's the worst.
It is the worst. It's horrible.
Hello, pal. Take it away, pal.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. This report is brought to you by
you got it, Chief.
No, it's worse than that, Chief and Guy. I don't know what's worse, Chief or Guy. There might be a poll for
guy,
a social media
I
team.
Hate Guy.
Guy's the worst.
Guy.
What do you think, AB? Guy? Pal? I think
pal,
Guy's the worst. What's up, Guy?
I think
Big Guy is really, really bad.
Big Guy is terrible.
Big Guy sucks.
Big Guy's brutal.
I don't know, but Pal sounds the most dismissive to me.
Yeah, somebody.
Pal is the most dismissive. Yeah. I agree with AB.
Recently, somebody said to me, hey, Big Guy. It was Seth. Remember Seth?
Yeah.
And I wanted to take my thumb and drive it through his eye, like an Asiatic spike. I want to take my thumb and just drive it into his eye socket. And just drive my finger and push his eyeball back into his brain.
Well, it's not too violent. I like Chief. I don't mind, but you don't rarely Chief. Hear Chief.
That's why I say Haas because everybody's like, you know, when you say Haas, people are like, wait, what did he just call me? Like,
yes,
and then, by then they move on. Then they move on.
Then they move on. You've moved on to another subject about yourself
and a new football team.
Oh, that's nice.
Right, like, hey, Haas. I'm like, wait, you call me Haas? By the way, I didn't like the way you did that read the other day. What's with this music, Doug?
Yeah.
That pick segment. I should have gone first, right?
Why didn't I go first? Why didn't Pete sweeten my audio better? What the hell's going on?
Right. As long as you were focused on the, just not yourself and the way you sounded.
I listened. I have to confess.
Right.
I listened to the whole show on the podcast.
You didn't listen to the whole show. You listened to the pick segment.
I put it on X2. Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, that's because you don't listen to podcasts. X2 means you speed up the audio. So you guys sounded like mice.
See, you
and then
up,
when the man came in, I put it out to regular.
Yes, I'm sure you sounded like, yes. Your 10-second pick where people were confused. I got a tweet. I'm confused. Who did Taz exactly pick there?
Men!
He said he mentioned the spread, and then he said this team would win.
Yeah.
Did he like him to win against the spread, or?
Yeah, I knew what I meant. I didn't do that in every game.
Did you, though?
Do that in one game. It was a little confusing now that Moose is saying he's right. There definitely was a game.
It
might have
been
the Washington-Arizona State game. I think that's the game it was.
Just sitting there, I look over, I'm like, who did he pick?
You actually said it on the air.
Yeah.
Who did he pick?
I don't know who he picked.
And he looked at Mike, and Mike said, I want nothing to do with it.
Mike's like, take me out of this. He's listening.
Taz is listening. I don't want to hear it. He's in traffic screaming at someone again. I don't want to hear it.
Take it away, Andrew.
Here's your report brought to you by Werner. Thank you to all the hardworking pros out there. Werner, the official ladder of pros everywhere. It's been roughly 15 hours, and I still don't know what the heck happened in Minnesota. A 16.5-point underdog not supposed to win.
Those are the rules!
But when the Bills did, 27-6 over the Vikings. Running back Latavius Murray tries to explain.
We get behind, we're not able to do the things we want to do as an offense, and so... We just got to play better, got to be better, and I have no doubt that we will be better.
Yeah, they better be better in a hurry because
really
the Vikes visit the Rams on Thursday night.
Let me interrupt you, sir. I had Dalvin Cook in my the fantasy league for the show here at Taz and the Moose.
Yeah,
and so what happens is, you know, he's hurt, so I bench him, and then I don't know what I was thinking. I said, let me give Murray a shot.
Yeah,
bad move, stinks.
So it's Rams-Vikings on Thursday. L.A. dumped L.A. yesterday, 35-23. Jared Goff throwing for 354 and three scores on the Chargers. Matthew Stafford, a pair of touchdown passes as the Lions dropped the Patriots last night in Motown, 26-10. Rookie Kerryon Johnson ran for 101, the Lions' first 100-yard game since Reggie Bush on November 28th of 2013.
Bush.
Niners QB Jimmy Garoppolo suffering an apparent torn ACL in a 38-27 loss in Kansas City. There were less than 6 minutes left when Garoppolo scrambled left. He could have just stepped out of bounds, but turned upfield to make contact with a defender. That cut is what hurt his knee. Chiefs DN Justin Houston almost sacked Garoppolo at the start of the sequence.
I think that was his fault. I pray he's not hurt, nothing serious, but as a quarterback, you should step out of bounds. It's only an inch. That inch wouldn't have made a difference. You got the yards you need, you step out of bounds. You got to be smart and think about your team.
He's right. He's 100% right. He is.
Yeah, he is.
Test today to confirm Garoppolo's injury. C.J. Beathard would start in his place. The Seahawks topped the Cowboys 24-13. Chicago rallying for a 16-14 win in Arizona. Washington down Green Bay 31-17. And the Panthers fought off the Bengals 31-21. Cam Newton threw for two scores and ran for two others. Tiger Woods, a winner once again. His first title in 5 years. The 80th of his career at the Tour Championship at East Lake in Atlanta. Greg Allen's RBI single, bottom 11, got Cleveland past Boston last night 4-3. Yankee shortstop D.D. Gregorius tore cartilage in his right wrist, sliding into home plate to clinch a playoff spot Saturday night. He could be done for the season. And Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and Ohio State remain atop the AP college football poll, but 7 ranked teams lost last week, so there are 5 new teams on the list, including Kentucky, ranked for the first time since 2007. Boys?
Long time ago. Let's hit the guest line right now. Jim Diapoulos joins us, former NFL official, former supervisor of NFL officials. Hey, Jim, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing well. A little frustrated, Jim. certainly a little frustrated. Not as much as, say, Clay Matthews and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, walk us through it here. Last couple weeks, what we have witnessed on the field. Taz and I just got done talking about it. I think it's a formful tackle and a hit. I get protecting the quarterback. What about the latest addition, the call yesterday on Matthews against Alex Smith?
You know, I watched this and I kind of cringe because, you know, I understand what the NFL is trying to do here. You know, we have to protect the quarterback. I mean, you guys know that.
Right.
I mean, that's the franchise player. They're really trying to protect him. But what Clay Matthews did was absolutely exactly the way it's supposed to be done. I don't know how else a player can take a quarterback down other than the way Clay did it. You know, what they're trying to get away from, and as you probably realize, they don't want the quarterback lifted and driven into the ground. And it just, they're saying partial body weight. They're just putting too much responsibility on this referee to overprotect this quarterback. And it's very frustrating, and people are frustrated with it, but I know the officials are frustrated with it also. But That's the directive that they're getting from the league office, is to protect that quarterback.
And it's got to be, I mean, Jim, it's got to be frustrating for most officials, because I would assume most of them, when they were younger, played football at some level, either high school or college ball, or maybe even some pro ball, right? So they understand, right? So they understand, like Moose and I were talking earlier, when you go to tackle someone, you run through them. You don't hit them, you run through them. So your momentum is going to land on them, even if you don't try to drive them into the ground. So it's got to be difficult, right? I mean, for these refs to initiate these calls without essentially getting everybody else pissed off at them, right or wrong.
You're absolutely correct. And these officials have officiated so many games over the years to get to the level that they are at. You know, I think what we've got to do is we've just got to let them officiate and make gut calls. What do you think is legal and what do you think is illegal? You know, I'm not sure they're getting the proper directive from the league office or the, you know, they're not getting the film work that they need, or, hey, you know, here's a foul or here's not a foul. At some point, it's very difficult for the official when he goes out there and sees things, because every tackle is different. Just like every hold is different and every pass interference is different. And what you try to teach officials is, you know, call it from your gut. Is one guy getting an advantage? Is one player taking an advantage over another player? And that's what it all comes down to, is advantage and disadvantage. And when you put this quarterback in this position, he's going to get hit. He's going to get hit sometimes. Just don't, you know, abuse him. Don't drive him into the ground. The old, you know, the Ray Nitschke type tackles.
Yeah,
and those types of tackles where, you know, they drive the player into the ground and then try to bury him. You just can't do that. But how do you keep from, you know, falling on a player when you're making a tackle? It's physically impossible.
It's physically impossible. It really is.
It really is. And I think the officials are doing a great job with the information that they're getting right now. And they're trying to decipher exactly what the league wants. And I'm not sure if the league knows exactly what they want.
Jim, do you think the rule book has tilted to a point that defenses are at a disadvantage?
You know, it's always been that way. You know, as long as I've been associated with the NFL, you know, anytime there's been a rule change, it has two situations. Number one, to increase scoring, or for safety. And basically, all these issues right now are trying, you know, you're trying to help the offense out. You know, the defense is always going to be at the disadvantage right here. But I understand the safety situation. You know, the league has a real issue with safety, with head injuries. I thought the big issue that we would be talking about all year would be helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yeah, me too.
And the players understand it. The players have gotten, I mean, we don't see that, you know, you're getting a few of them during the game.
Not like last year, though. It's not like last year.
No, you know, the players understand it, and they kind of adjusted to it, and they'll adjust to this too. But, gosh, I don't know what you tell a Clay Matthews or any type of a defensive player on how do you take a player down, or how do you tackle a player, because that looked absolutely textbook to me.
You know, it seems like, you know, Jim, when you're watching the officials, and not to put the heat on them, but Moose and I were just talking about it, I think it was the last segment here on our program, that you'll see a call get made on whatever play, and where it's like, okay, and then they huddle up because they're not sure. But it was a little gray area in this call. So then the officials huddle up, which has been going on in the NFL for decades. But now you have, obviously, instant replay, so New York's going to second-guess you once you go to them. Then you have every network has a guy in the booth now, like Blandino or Pereira and all these different guys, which is cool. So it's like some of these officials, you think it's harder now to be an official than it was, let's say, 15 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. You're under the microscope right now on every call that you make. Besides being, you know, critiqued out on the field, you've got every person that's watching the game, you know, on the social media critiquing your calls also.
Right.
And then you're trying to make the call, and, you know, they have this earpiece in, so they know New York's talking to these guys. So that's the other thing that, you know, I think we got to kind of back up a little bit and go back to the time where just let the guys officiate the game.
Oh, wait. So New York's got, they got an IFB, they got an earpiece in, so they're talking to these guys, so they're micromanaging these refs while they're reffing.
Yeah, they can talk to these officials, and which makes this very difficult. You know, the problem is, you know, the players make mistakes. Officials make mistakes. I mean, coaches make mistakes. It's just part of the game, and people have got to understand it. I think the problem that we have is, as fans, we expect the NFL officials to be perfect. You know, we don't expect the NBA guys, the Major League Baseball guys, the hockey guys to be perfect, but we expect perfection from the NFL officials, and they're not. They're really good. They're really good, but they make mistakes. And I think we just got to understand that. Let's make them make mistakes. And the NFL is trying to make this a perfect game, and it's just not a perfect game.
It certainly is not, Jim. Not a perfect game, but do you think the game is now soft? I mean, Clay Matthews yesterday after that latest call, and he's frustrated again. McCarthy was frustrated. And he could go up and down the rule book, certainly in terms of who's at advantage, who's at disadvantage. You know, this game is inherently violent. Do you think, I get about protecting players, we all understand that. People want quality of life later on in life. But do you think Clay Matthews made the claim he feels like the league is getting soft? Do you think this league's getting soft?
I think that it's becoming overprotective right now. I think they're becoming overprotective of the players. You know, it's still, as you said, it's a vicious game played by vicious individuals when they're out between those lines, and it's a tough game. And I understand what the league is trying to do. They're trying to protect those guys from head injuries. But, gosh, it's very difficult. It's a difficult game to officiate. It's a difficult game to play. And the league is making it a lot more difficult, putting so many guidelines on these defensive players.
You think, hey, Jim, you think it's going to be something that's probably that might be impossible to figure out throughout the whole season here?
I think what's going to happen is the players are going to figure it out. You know, they're going to have to do something because – you know, the league has set this directive that they want protection of this quarter, specifically the quarterback. And what's going to happen is the players are going to have to adjust to it. I know Clay Matthews is going to get very frustrated with it. And I think what he's going to do is just keep tackling the way he tackles and try to. But I don't know how you come after the quarterback. And if you head up on him, you know, how do you take him down without landing on him?
Clay Matthews, he's 6'3", 255 pounds, Clay. He's a huge guy. He's a big boy.
You know,
a 10-year veteran.
They're all big guys out there. You know, how do you put, you know, partial weight on a guy? And, I just think it's so difficult for the official to make this call. I think he's just got to look at it and say, you know, I've seen so many of these hits on the quarterback. Is this legal or is this not legal? Is this defensive player trying to injure him or is he just trying to take him down? He's just got to make a gut call out there. And I'll tell you, it's just an awful lot of pressure on the referee right now to make that call on that hit on that quarterback.
You know, Jim, Taz and I were talking about before, we would not want the job, right? There's a lot of pressure. You're on the field. You supervised officials. Give us, when you were on the field, did you feel that kind of pressure?
Not necessarily, no. You know, when you're out there, what you're trying to do is just keep guys, you know, keep the game in line. And too often what's happening now is I think they feel that they have this eye looking over their shoulder all the time. You know, the older officials back in the day, the Jerry Markwrights and the Jerry Bergmans and those, they just officiated the game and, you know, they just called it from their guts and they just kind of let these guys play. And when they thought one player was doing something outside the rules, they did it. Now what's happening is you see a lot of hesitancy by officials because they're trying to determine what do they want up in New York rather than just making a gut call.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem because you want to make sure that the rules are there for a reason. I get it. But it also can't be just letter of the law rule time and time again. Because these games, there's got to be a rhythm and a flow to these games as well, Jim. I mean, that's what makes football so popular, such a great sport, is that it's such a great TV sport. People enjoy watching it, but when there's too many penalties being called, when you're having a half where there's 16 penalties or 26 penalties for a game, it's too much.
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. You've got to get the flow out there. And once you lose that flow and you start over-officiating and taking control of the game, you know, this taking control of the game when it's getting, you know, when the players are getting a little antsy and they're getting into each other's faces, or this taking control of the game when they're just playing and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to put yourself in the middle of the game. And that's what you don't want the officials to do, is to get too involved in that game. Let the players play the game and protect the players from themselves. And that's what you try to do and kind of keep it within the rules. But like I said, you know, you've got to have that feel, and I just don't know if they really are comfortable yet with what the league wants called.
And your message, if Clay Matthews called you today, Jim, and said, "What the hell do I do?" What would your message to Clay Matthews be?
I'd tell him to keep playing football like he knows how to play football, and hopefully they'll adjust to this thing, because I don't think he can change. I don't think he did anything outside of the rules. I don't feel he did anything, you know, trying to hurt the player. I don't think he did anything, you know, that was unnecessary that should have been called.
Jim Diapoulos, former NFL official, former supervisor of NFL officials as well. Jim, great stuff. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Anytime, guys. Great talking to you. Have a great week.
Thank you. Take care, sir.
And basically said the Matthews hit is the Matthews hit.
Yeah, man. I mean,
keep doing what you do. It's a terrible call.
I wonder what they do in the office. The league, like this morning, they got to be sitting around like, man, we really messed that up.
I think they're probably high-fiving one of them.
They might be like, hopefully
we're getting it right. He's got to make the adjustment. He's got to tackle him without landing on him.
Hopefully Clay's not in the lobby when we leave for lunch. Imagine.
Listen, my message to Clay would be this. Great hit. Just don't land on him.
Just hit him and back off. Like,
how would you
like a video game?
Right, it'd be like the Matrix.
Yeah, like he's like, we should try this. Olivetti should just tackle Mikey B during the break. We'll get Boomer in here, Boomer Esiason. I'd love to hit Boomer, tackle Boomer, sack him. He at least had defensive lineman lay all over him.
This is Boomer Esiason.
You know that. Boomer back in the day.
Yes, yeah.
When he played, dude, they weren't playing games, dude. He had guys in
there. No, he had guys, though. So, no question. Different game now.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that. You should try it. We should set that up on Instagram. You trying Boomer? To tackle Boomer.
Or Mikey B. Which one you want to tackle? Rubbing up against Boomer.
Go after Boomer. Just when he's walking down the hallway, we'll drill him right from behind.
Like a Lawrence Taylor type from behind, right. Like hack over with the arm.
Hack over with the arm, knock the Starbucks out of his hand, and just drive him to the ground.
And knock that blonde wig off his head.
And then stand over him.
I know he's wearing a wig.
Stand over him.
Yeah, stand over. Yeah,
and Mike would be able to be like, we got to get back on the air.
And then hide.
Taz, you got to read. You got word a lot.
The return of Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Boomer Esiason. You want action? Expect it here. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Productive Pros brought to you by Werner Ladder. Today's Productive Pro, Patrick Mahomes. He threw three touchdown passes, second quarter, lead the Chiefs to a 38-27 triumph for the 49ers at Arrowhead Stadium in their home opener.
Yeah, that's right, Moose. Mahomes has tossed NFL record 13 touchdown passes in the first three games of the season, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you to all the hardworking pros out there. Werner, the official ladder of pros everywhere. Carson Wentz back at quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was a winning day, even though he looked a little rusty at times. The full playbook, the full gamut of that offense was open for him, and he was running. There was no limp to his gait. There was no issue in terms of that knee, Taz. And what is it exactly? Pristine conditions down in Philadelphia either.
Right, the soggy turf.
The rain.
I was worried about him, man.
Yeah, the rain was falling. And no issues whatsoever. Did have a lost fumble when the game was tied up at 13. The Colts had every opportunity to win it. Man, that Philadelphia defense, when they need to bow their back and make a stop, they 9 times out of 10, they're doing
it.
They really bring it. And Barnett with the big play yesterday on fourth down inside, I would say the Colts were inside, what, the 7-8 yard line of the Philadelphia Eagles, something of that nature, trying to preserve the 20-16 victory. And he comes flying off the edge, the former Tennessee volunteer, and gets the sack of Andrew Luck. And for all intents and purposes, that pretty much wraps it up. The Colts get it back again late, no timeouts, deep in their own territory. and pretty much get up to the 40-yard line. But for Wentz, scenario, I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
The throws were there. He's some kind of leader. You could tell that the guys were happy to have him back. Not that they weren't happy with for Nick Foles and what he did last year, but we all understand.
Just a much better team with him.
And he's a much better player.
Oh, he's just so much better. Yeah, it just really is. And
I thought he looked good.
I did too. I think he hit the nail on the head. He did look a little rusty, but I think that's to be expected. I mean, you know, he was, 25 or 37, 255 yards. So, you know, one TD, one interception. I mean, yeah, look, you know, Moose, he's just going to get better and better. As long as that knee stays okay, they probably iced that knee like crazy yesterday after that game and to just bring any kind of swelling down on that thing. If I was the Eagles, I would have him do a light practice schedule this week. I wouldn't have him go hard. You know, you just take care of this guy. This guy's the real deal.
Yeah, preserve him, take care of him, and the Eagles win a game in which it is, you see the intestinal fortitude of the team. They're not completely healthy. No Darren Sproles, no Jay Ajayi, a lot of Clement in the backfield, the former Wisconsin Badger.
Yep.
They're not healthy at the wide receiver spot either. They're not a whole football team right now. But Taz, as how many times do we say it? You want to continue to win. They don't have to be the prettiest victories. You don't have to have Ram and Chief type performances week in and week out. As long as you keep winning. 3-0 is 3-0. Listen, the Miami Dolphins, they might not be the prettiest 3-0 in the world, but they're 3-0 just like the Rams are 3-0.
Right.
Just like the Chiefs are 3-0. And the goal is to get better and better as you go along here. And I think for Wentz and the Eagles, you know this, he's going to get better and better and better as this season progresses.
No, and you, excuse me, you know, that's a fact because that's just the style player he is. And this guy's been out for so long, you know, Wentz, and you just knew that internally he was busting to make that happen yesterday, you know, just to get on the field and play. And thank God for him, he was healthy enough and completed the game and looked pretty good. Looked a little rusty at times, like we were just discussing. And next up for him and his Green Birds there, the Tennessee Titans. So, and they're going down Tennessee for that. So they got a whole week to prepare. Like I said, I would go nice and easy with Wentz. I would go full throttle with him in practice. Take care of that thing because before you know it, week five, I think they got the Vikings. Which, you know, the Vikings look like poopy yesterday, but
they did, and the Vikings have got an interesting,
I think,
two-game stretch here. Rams, as you've mentioned here, and then the Philadelphia
then the Eagles. Yeah.
Right. And the Titans are not going to be any kind of easy test for the Philadelphia Eagles.
No way.
Because give Tennessee and give Mike Vrabel credit.
Yep.
They're finding a way to win game. Yesterday, Gabbert gets knocked out for a concussion. They put a quarterback in Mariota, who I love.
I do too.
Mariota,
I'm a fan. Yep.
A fan of Mariota. He's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a hard time gripping the football. And the Titans still win on the road in Jacksonville. That tells me a lot about the Jaguars. Number one, to lay that kind of an effort after knocking around the Patriots the week before. And I get the Titans defensively are much. Bortles looked awful.
He looked hard. That's the thing with him, man. And I like Bortles, but
I know you love
Bortles. Man, he's hot and cold.
He looked horrific.
When he's bad, he's really bad. But when he's good, he's legit. I mean, the whole game was just a defensive game. The game was a 9-6 game. Jags won 9-6.
I thought of you yesterday. So I'm at the sports book watching, and the Jaguars Titans game is on.
Yeah.
And some guy put money on the Jaguars that was sitting next to me, near me.
Yeah.
The guy's like, Mother Bortles. he's dropping F bombs left and right throughout the entire game. How do you expect to win a Super Bowl with this blank and stiff at quarterback? He is missing guys wide open left and right. He stinks. Get rid of the football. How do you take a sack there? Ranting and raving
about. How many
F-bombs
about?
Oh, my God.
Had to be 100
F-bombs. It was about, over the course of 3.5 hours, there was probably about 75 F-bombs he threw Bortles way.
I love it.
Oh, I was like, man. You're not wrong. He's terrible today.
Oh, man.
How are they losing to this team? They got a guy, a quarterback, that can't grip the football, and they're winning the game. He's completing passes down the field. Bortles is missing guys by 6 yards.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Dude, he threw for our game is 21-34, 155, zero TDs. Oh, my God, Bortles.
I'll
make you look bad, buddy.
He was strong. Oh, my God.
Horrendous.
If I could have recorded him, I would have, but that would have been.
But those anyway. Titans play hard, though.
They do.
They do play hard.
The three comes your way next. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.